Welcome to Philcart and Identity Unveiled. Identity Unveiled is a lifestyle platform that talks career, beauty, and health to support advancement of Asian American women to executive ranks. Philcart is the first Asian American woman VC fund, and our collaboration today brings you stories of Asian American women entrepreneurs breaking barriers. Today, we're speaking with Dr. Pinky Patel, founder of Mari, an all-in-one postpartum assistant rehab app.
Dr. Pinky Patel, thank you so much for joining us today. We are so excited. We love what you're doing about revolutionizing maternal health care for all moms. Let's just jump to our first question. Tell us about Mari. What does Mari mean and the inspiration behind the business?
Yeah, Mari is an evidence-based postpartum application with rehab and resources in a community for moms. And Mari means, well, it comes from a spinoff of my recovery, my body, my rehab, my postpartum. And Mari, the word is actually from a South Asian descent, so I think it was very fitting. And the inspiration came from, it was an experience, right? So I had my daughter, I have two kids. I have a six-year-old and now a three-year-old. And after having Karishma, my six-year-old, I thought, a little background on myself, I have my doctorate in pharmacy. And I'm also a pre and postnatal corrective exercise specialist and a personal trainer. So I think in terms of anatomy. And so whenever I was starting to, when I was pregnant, I had a doula. I consider myself health literate. I dot my I's, I cross my T's, I do my homework. And I was like, yeah, I had a 60-hour unmedicated labor. And that was, you would think that would be like the hardest thing that I would have to do, right? Unmedicated. Yeah. But then I went home and I was like, wait a minute, this is way more difficult than all of the other things that I went through. So pregnancy is a glowy experience. People are opening your doors for you. You're seeing your doctor every few weeks at the end. It's fantastic. And then postpartum, you're like, wait, I have to learn how to feed this baby and then navigate an entire chemical and a hormonal shift. And not listen to everybody's opinions. I say opinions are like buttholes. Everybody has them. But in postpartum, they come guns a-blazing. And so that experience was very eye-opening. And I was like, I can't be the only person. I know that people have had babies for years before me, but I can't be the only person that feels like I got just slapped in the face. And so bringing in the anatomy piece of, you know, me being a pre and postnatal corrective exercise specialist, the piece about where women always said, you're going to pee on yourself, you're going to have pain with intercourse, you're going to have back pain, you're just going to suck it up and live with it. And I was like, no, that doesn't make any sense. I was like, it's just that no one's paid attention to what we've needed. And so women's health is largely underserved. And so as postpartum, I feel like we just haven't figured it out yet. So that was my inspiration.
I love that. And I'm so glad that you are doing something about it, because you're right, women's health is quite underserved. So you're going through all of this, you have two kids now, and now you're starting a business, or you started a business. I mean, what was the biggest challenge that you encountered in starting this business?
So I thought that the biggest challenge was when I built this, when I said, I'm going to go out and do this. In 2018, I've ideated and thought like, this is how I want to build something for women. It's been 2 years. I've come up for air. You know, when you come up for air after you have kids, you're like, I've slept a little, you know, and they sleep a little better now. You start to think a little clear. And then in 2019, I was like, I'm going to build this. And then I was like, wait a minute, takes a pregnancy test. Of course, I'm pregnant. And so I thought that that was going to be my most challenging piece. I rented a co-working space in 10 hours. I filmed everything that I wanted to exist in a rehab and recovery application. I was actually 10 weeks pregnant when I filmed everything. And your stomach pops out faster the second time. So it was like, trying to suck it in, you know? And the app was available in 166 countries 3 weeks before giving birth to the second baby. So we've built this community, we've gone community first, become really creative. We've earned the trust of healthcare professionals. And then of course my water breaks and people start downloading this app. And my husband's like, we've got to go to the hospital. I'm like, listen, I've done this before. I'm not going to have a baby here. Like, I've just got to fix a few things, you know? So take it with me to the labor and delivery room, just because I'm like, I got to make sure that it doesn't break. Like, this is so cool that people are using my product. And then I thought that was going to be my hardest year. 4 months later, COVID happens, the week that I'm supposed to go back to work as a pharmacist, and my daughter never goes back to school. So I feel like I still worked full time as a pharmacist until about a year ago. I actually did both because I bootstrapped the company. And so in this very room, there was a table here from Walmart. That's a plastic table. And that is where I did my work as a pharmacist, because I was a remote pharmacist. And then there was a table on the, there was a standing desk that was on the carpet. That's where I did the other piece of Myrie. And people kept using Myrie and they found value in it. And so to leave all the stability that I knew on this table, this plastic table here, not this fancy Target decor that you see back here. And to say that, like, I'm going to leave everything I know, because my parents came from India with $7. So like, they're like, you need to become a doctor, a lawyer, or a dentist. So you need to do those things. Mm-hmm. I did the thing, right? And then I did that for 10 years. But to say bye to that chapter and be like, I'm going to go do this other thing that is really probably hard, harder than it's ever going to be, but it's in a direction and I'm moving the needle in a positive way. That day was the hardest thing I've ever done.
So talking about working two jobs, how did you fund your business?
I worked as a pharmacist and I used my own savings and I bootstrapped it and I just kept working as a full-time pharmacist. Yeah. So probably like of my own money, a little over 100,000 for the original beta product. And then now we've closed like a smaller round and we finally decided to use that to further our traction some more. And, you know, at the end of the day, I'm actually very grateful that I didn't take additional capital when I may not have needed it, because I had to learn to be very capital efficient. And I think that's what we need in this financial climate.
So you're saying you did a small round. What can you tell me a bit more about that?
Yeah, we have some Oklahoma venture VCs that have invested in our round and among a few other angels. And so that is closing in the next week or so. And so we started kind of doing that at the end of last year when we decided to really strategize and pivot a little bit of our business model.
Okay, great. So how much did you raise in the small round?
Yeah, so 500,000. Yep.
Great. And that 500,000, where is that being allocated towards?
So the product, whenever it was developed, I still considered it beta. I call it like my taped up rocket ship. And so taking what users, that actual product, and making it more optimized, because we're now working with more employers, enterprises, self-insured employers, and entities like that. So optimizing it so that we can further our reach and impact mothers.
What would you say was the biggest hurdle in fundraising?
Knowing where to start, right? So like I always joked that I could take organic chemistry in my sleep 5 times, but I will never walk into my husband's sales and business class ever. I married my high school sweetheart. He went in one direction, I went in the other. I like 1 + 1 = 2. I don't do this whole gray thing. This whole thing of like pinky follows her passion and then wait, I have to do business thing was very shocking, because I was like, hold up. So wait, if I want to like raise some money and it makes sense, I have to learn all of these terms, cap tables, term sheets, safe notes, convertibles, all these terminologies and language. And so I just sat down and good old Google, YouTube, some books. And then I figured out, okay, this is how you talk to people. And that's one way of doing things. I'm a really good studier, so I can study things really easily. And then it was like, okay, so then go do that. So, okay, and then you also have to think of like the business. So there's a lot of elements involved. It's very easy to say, we'll just go raise some money. And not only do you have to know your business in and out, you also have to be able to talk to venture capitalists. The thing is, it's a lot about who you know, right? And so when you're sitting in Oklahoma and you're sitting on the Zoom and you're like, hi, I'm from New York. Where are you from? Oklahoma. They're like, oh, a lot of people will just look at you and go, what are you doing there? 80% of people will look at me and say, what are you doing there? So 3 of the VCs that I've invested in, they're from Oklahoma. Some of the angel investors are not, but yeah, I think demographics and where I am in geographically may have been a little bit of a challenge, but at the end of the day, just that learning curve.
Yeah. So how are you guys? Like you've raised the capital, you're out now in 166 different countries, right? Is that what it was?
166.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So what's kind of next for you now? You're going through this fundraising. Where are you headed now?
So up until now, we've ran very lean in terms of our team, just up until recently. And moving forward, as we strategize going to market, we initially started D2C. that was just our way of understanding stories, user base. You have to be customer obsessed if you're working with mothers. So I still am, and I think I should always be. But moving towards the B2B spaces, thinking about how are we improving lives when it comes to being in terms of clinical outcomes. So at the end of the day, no matter if I'm selling to an employer or a payer or provider or a health system, what are we doing with our technology that's enabling us to mitigate certain issues that women are having? And also not only just being a continuum of care, if you will, and having increased touch points because of technology, but also in terms of employers, they're wanting to impact their mothers in a positive capacity. I feel like more than ever, they're realizing that mothers are underserved because for instance, I worked for corporate America. They had a lot of things for pregnancy, but they didn't have much for postpartum. So we're headed in that direction.
Incredible. You grew really fast. So you launched how many years ago again, Pinky?
The beginning of 2020 is when I would say the app was actually out. And so we're at 2023 now. I always joke, I'm like, if I did this when I didn't have children, I promise I would have done it a lot faster. But the inspiration was the children, right? So, and mothers, I feel like that there's something about us. Like we have kids and we're like, wow, we can make brains and stuff. We can do a lot more. We turn into these superhumans. Yeah, so 3 years ago, yeah.
And then 166 countries, 3 years, and that's incredible. How many users?
We've had over 185,000 downloads. And we haven't had, when I put it out there, I wasn't even working full time at Myri. At the time it was called the Snapback. And when folks started using it in other countries, when we weren't actively even marketing in those countries, that to me signaled something. So we've had 41 paying countries. And that to me was very interesting because that means that someone somewhere was looking for support in the postpartum phase.
Yeah, well, I can certainly vouch for needing some support during the postpartum phase. So, you know, we're definitely so excited. So I got to kind of switch gears here, though. Being a South Asian woman, going through this entrepreneurial journey, what can be done to better support women like you, other Asian women in entrepreneurship? And like, what resources have helped you? Any thoughts around on how to encourage and support more women like you in entrepreneurship?
I feel like when I started this, and I think entrepreneurship, no matter what, is going to be at some point, it becomes lonely. Like it just, there might be little pockets of time where you're always going to be kind of lonely. I felt like I was lonely a lot, maybe because of the timing of when I decided to launch this. And I was also postpartum myself. The irony was, I was building something for mothers. I was like, I'm going to do this. And then I was postpartum again. And that summer of 2020 was actually very challenging for me. I haven't openly talked about this very much. So I'm on Instagram. I talk about a lot of things all the time. But that summer was a culmination of having my 3-year-old not going back to school, my 6-month-old with me, and I was going back to work full time, and I was running the business. And so there was a lot of loneliness, and I felt like it's about who you know. And so now we're in this world where you can go and network in person. And I feel like being in person it just hits different, right? And so opening those doors, and not just any door, like intros to me, I'm so grateful for anybody that's ever made an introduction for me, because even if I had to be persistent, I wish I didn't have to be so persistent, you know, like and it's, unfortunately, it's in my DNA, so I'll just keep going after it. But opening those doors shouldn't be as hard, you know, and I felt like that was a challenge for myself, like the amount of energy that I had to put into that part.
Yeah. So really developing that network to open those doors and those connections. Pinky, we're big supporters. We are rooting for you here at IU and at PhilCor. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you are interested in downloading this app, if this is something that you were looking for, you can download the app from any of your app stores and sign up. So thank you all for tuning in. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your week, if not weekend, if you're listening to this on a Friday. Thank you so much.